It's wonderful. Wonderful to have you with me today. Oh, we've got a good word from our great God. And I pray you'll stay with me. Let's have a word of prayer then, and before we get into the word itself. Okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to deliver this message, Lord, on your behalf. I pray, Lord, the words I've chosen, Lord, will be pleasing unto you. And I pray, Lord, that when all is said and done, that you be lifted up and Jesus Christ will be glorified. For I pray and ask in his precious name. Amen. 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 Okay, the title of my message today is, I love the title. I really do. Are you ready? Lies of the heart. Lies of the heart. I mean, when we speak lies, do they come always from the heart? Or they just kind of trip over our gums and come out our lips? But, you know, there has to be an origin for everything, right? What comes out of your mouth, unfortunately, usually comes from your heart. And that's sad. That's a sad commentary for all of us. Because sometimes we get a bit excited. We say things we really don't want to say. And once we've said them, we cannot take them back. But thank God we have a Savior who paid the price for us and delivered us from all our sinful ways. But remember, ye must repent and believe in order to have the Savior's blood effectually take care of the sin problem in your life. Okay? Okay. Lies of the heart. Remember when you were young and attending primary or grade school and you'd come into class late sometime? Oh, I do. And the teacher would ask you for a written excuse from your mom that you'd have to bring in the next day. And you knew that was going to be a hard thing to do, right? Because you did not want mom to know that you were late for class. I think most of us have been through that. We may have gotten delayed, maybe not on purpose, but kind of was slow getting there, or else we were talking to somebody and, oops, you know, look the time, I got to get into class. Well, the reason being, you are or were without excuse. Well, is that fair? Well, say what you will, let God be the judge. Let God be the judge. You left the house in a tither for one thing and procrastinated all the way to school. You know, slowpoke? Jumping in the puddles on the way? Talking to the birds? You know? You even had thought about playing hooky altogether, didn't you? Don't say no. I've been there. I think we've all been there one time or other. Or maybe the traffic light down the street wasn't working. So, what can you do? Hope your mother backs you up? Even, perhaps, if she has to, that she will lie for you. Uh-oh. Now, you wouldn't want your mother to lie for you, or would you? I think we all want it to at some time. Now, isn't it funny? Well, not really funny, but actually it's a bald-faced lying sin. A bald-faced lying sin. And even worse, to get your mom involved in your lying ways, that's going over the line, isn't it? I mean, sometimes they'll do it to spare you from being, you know what? And what about God? What about God? Does he fit into this equation at all? Now, if we look in Romans, the book of Romans, Romans 1, verses 24 to 28, I'd like to read them. Would you listen, please? Okay. Romans 1, 24 to 28. You can read along with me if you like. 24 to 28. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and serve the creator more than, the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We're talking about the sin nature here, right? Now, all these things apply to everyone, but not everyone uses these methods, these modes, to cause a gap between you and your Savior. I mean, if you're saved, you may not even do them at all. But there may have been a time before you were saved that you did. Now, this is what we find out, is that God here is will not aid and abet, you've heard that before, a sluggard. Are you a sluggard? You know what a sluggard is? Someone who just procrastinates, someone takes their time, doesn't really care. Oh, now what does verse 28 say? What? God did what? Gave them over to what? A reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Not convenient. My, oh my, how convenient we want God to be at times, right? But God's not your, oh, and I hate to use this term, but because it's used so many times, but God's not your bellhop. He's your Savior. He's your Savior. Now, get on your knees and seek His forgiveness. If we turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, here's what we read. That we, henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Well, makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to you. God loves to help His children, you know, especially if they trust and obey. Do you trust and obey? Do you try to trust and obey? Do you want to trust and obey? Tell me. Tell me, do you trust and obey, or do you try to take advantage of His mercy and grace? A lot of us do that, don't we, from time to time. Want some good advice? Do you? Don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. Okay. I want to go to James, the book of James. I want you to hear this, please. Very important. Are you driven with the wind and tossed? Or are you on the level with the God of all creation? Only you know for sure. Okay, James, the book of James, James 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Of course, he's talking about men and women, boys and girls, right? But let him ask in faith. When you ask of God something, ask in faith. Why? Because God doesn't appreciate wavering. It says here, but ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God, of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In all his ways. Well, there you have it. But what about your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister? No, I'm sorry, we can't include the cat and the dog and the hamster. No, they don't count. Can you have more than one best friend? A lot of people think they can. I mean, we can have a lot of friends, but they can't all be the best friend, can they? You might tell them they are when you're with them separately. Oh, you're my best friend. And then you're out the next day with one of the other friends. Oh, you're my best friend. Oh, that's not good. Because sooner or later, your castle is going to come crumbling down on you, isn't it? So can you have more than one best friend? Well, you can have lots of friends. That's what's important, isn't it? But let God be your number one friend. I wonder why. Is it because your dog or cat will never tell you that you're wrong? Is that why you like to have them as a best friend? You heard people say over and over again, you know, here's Ralph, my dog. He's my best friend. Yeah, because he sees all the bad you do. Never tells mom or dad. Right? No, it doesn't work, you won't tell you when you're right or wrong, that you're mean, that you're ugly, that you're a big fat liar. Will they not wag their tail and cozy up to you, like you did everything just the way God wanted you to? Is it because they love and trust you, or is it because they fear you? Fear you. Give a dog a good kick and he'll shy away from you. Think about it. You're the master. You're in control. But when it comes to God, you can't give him a good kick, can you? Huh? And remember this. He is in control. None other. God is in control. Is God your helpmate? Or your ego booster? Which is he? In many of today's churches, God is neither. James, the book of James, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Well, I think I'll just skip that and just move along in the interest of time, but you can read it. James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And over in 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, Timothy writes, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Wow, I like that. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, without getting angry or doubting if God's word is final and true. Oh, God's word is always final, always true. Tell me, even as a Christian, do we not sometimes search for the easy way out of a situation, even to the point of changing the wording in your initial promise? I promised that we would do that. And I still want to do it, but I was thinking about it. Maybe we could do it at another time or do it in a different way. You know what I'm getting at? You've been there, right? Sure, yeah, I have. I mean, we all like to make promises, because making promises, you know, is committing yourself. If we promise God, you know, we should always keep those promises. But sometimes our friends will kind of let us slide a bit, won't they? And we really love them for that, don't we? Sure we do. For example, you promise to take your family for a day at the shore, maybe a picnic. But you had already checked the forecast even before you promised them. Now, get this. You've already checked the forecast, and there's a strong possibility of rain. But you failed to make this information known. Whoa. On the very day you're supposed to leave, you tell everybody the bad weather news. Aww, you scoundrel, you. A Christian father would not have been so deceitful. Liars, liars, pants on fire. You may have even disappointed your family through your trickery. Oh, I'm sure you did. But remember, God knows your heart. God knew you would be deceitful with your family. He knew it. My friends, please listen. We can dress up a lie and even put some sugar on it. But it's still a lie. A big fat lie, and God knows it. Yeah. Although a lie is a lie, we have this tendency to categorize them. We have a white lie, we have a black lie, or just a fib. When I was a kid, we had white lies and black lies, and fibs. Well, we never had fibs when I was a kid. We just... You know, we just took our lumps. Well, anyway, I'm not asking that your mom or dad give you a trouncing no. So please. But God will not be pleased with you. That's what I'm getting at. Pleasing God. When you please God, you're surely going to please your mom and dad as well. When I was a Catholic, the priest said that lies, like any sin, come under two headings. There's mortal lies. So these are sins. Or there's venial lies. These are sins. Mortal or venial. They consider the venial less important as the mortal. Okay? Now, the mortal sins, I call them the granddaddies, were considered even deadly at times. And they may or they may not keep you out of heaven. Now, this is all from a Catholic perspective. On the other hand, the venial sins, like you did or did not call your brother a big fat pig, were not very light consequences, and were usually forgiven with a simple regret like, sorry. You heard that, right? From your sister, your brother. Sorry. Sure, yeah. That's probably the biggest lie of all. Anyway, did you know that lies make God sick? Did you know that? Also, that the tiniest lie of all can keep you out of heaven while you spend time, according to Catholic protocol now, while you spend time in purgatory. But only if you're a Catholic. and only if there is a purgatory, which there is not. So you don't have to worry about that one. But first of all, you have to worry about getting away from Catholicism. Okay? Because Catholicism is not all it's made up to be. Okay? Pick up your 1611 King James Authorized Version Bible. Stick to it like you couldn't let it go. And you'll do just fine. God's Word is final. And that's where you'll find its finality. Are there some lies that God hates more than others? Well, of course. Lies like omission. Omission, the most famous of all, changing or deleting God's written word from this precious book, the Bible. That's why they use the King James, 1611. Use it. If we turn to 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4, we read, let's go there anyway. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4. I had that here just all ready to go. Hello, 1 Timothy. Timothy, here you are, backed up from Titus. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 4. 3, 4. Are you ready? Okay, listen carefully. I charge thee, the words of God, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Oh, great words, wonderful words, powerful words. Over in Psalm 101, verse 7, we read, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Oh, that tells you something, doesn't it? Get out of my face, right? In Proverbs we read, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. A lie by any other name is, guess what? An abomination. An abomination. All liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. You can count on that if you want to. Personally, I won't count on that anymore because I've given myself over to Christ. All my sins are under the blood. Are yours? Tell me something. Are you saved? Are you really saved? Are you under the blood of Christ? Are your sins, your past, your present, and future sins, are they all washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are they? You see, once you've repented and given your life over to Christ, then you need not fear what the devil can do. No. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You see, he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. When you give yourself, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the restraining force against sin, that's what he is, lives inside of you. Now, you may not feel that there's a spirit living inside of you, except your own, but the Holy Spirit resides in all who are his, all who have committed themselves to Christ. Keep that in mind. This is the same Holy Spirit who gives you the strength to fight off your sinful condition and convicts you of that. If you do something wrong, you'll feel guilty. You'll feel sorry that you said it or did it. And He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. You see, once you get saved doesn't mean, hey, I'll never do these things again. I'll never think these things again. I'll never go these places again. Oh, yeah, you will. Maybe not as much as before. It might take you some time to get away from it all. Oh, yes. Although your sin is forgiven immediately, you're trying to turn your life around. May take a little longer, but keep praying. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. God is with you. God is with you. He will help you. Now pay close attention. We're getting near the end. Now pay close attention to this next part, which so many have trouble believing. It's so simple, yet people have trouble believing this. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, oh, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that means woman too, right? Man, woman, child. For by grace are ye saved. It's a gift. When you receive a gift, guess what? It's yours to keep. You don't buy a gift unless you're buying it for somebody else. But when someone gives you a gift, it's already bought and paid for. Like Jesus going to the cross. He bought and paid for your gift of salvation. And you can never be taken away from you. It can never be taken away from you. You don't buy it. You don't earn it. It's free for the taking. Paid in full by the blood of the crucified one. And if you think it can be taken away, then you never had it to begin with. You never did. I pray that this message has worked on your heart in some special way, and that it will help to guide you through the days and years ahead. If Christ does tarry, you know, if you are a true believer, you will understand completely everything that's been said here with no difficulty whatsoever. But if you're not, or you have friends that are not, then I would urge you, please, please, talk to them. Tell them. Tell them what you know. It's so powerful. It's so worthy. It's God. Tell them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.